This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo!
Welcome in to the Cap and Jay Good Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with the fastest man in Northbrook, Jesse Rogers, in for Cap.
Send him down. Send Luis Robert down.
I'm Jonathan Hood. We've got Shay, we've got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Friday morning with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching our show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And Jess, here we go.
Here we go.
You got your shirt ready, you got your nice slacks, you got your Sunday shoes ready to go, because for you, it's Matt Mervis Day.
Matt Mervis Day, which means... Chris Russo is going to ask me a few questions on MLB Network. I can't imagine what he's going to ask me, Jay Hood.
Hey, Jesse Ryder, ESPN, your thoughts, Matt Mervis, young kid. What took so long? Give me a couple of minutes on the Mervis kid.
Today at 11 a.m. over at Wrigley, I'll be on.
Oh, my God.
That's a good imitation. I wanted to be on today just so I could hear you imitate Russo. It is Matt Mervis Day. Somewhere waking up in the north suburbs is Mark Silverman.
Right.
And I'm going to keep it clean, but he's very excited.
Yes.
He's very excited.
Yes.
Right? This is going to be Anthony Rizzo's replacement.
Right? It's so good. We're going to have Mervis on. Right?
So it's a good day for a couple, because couple fans have been asking this for a long time.
Yeah, well, at least a year, because he's really burst on the scene lately.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nobody a couple years ago in baseball parlance. Jay Hoodie was... he was signed in 2020 during COVID after five rounds of the draft. Nobody picked him. Then it's a free-for-all. For $10,000, you could have anybody you wanted. The story goes Jed Hoyer's first call was to Matt Mervis. 2021 was nothing special. Then 22 last year, boom. He takes off, hits the third most home runs in all of the minor leagues, and he's the savior. Because the offense is dried up there.
Jesse, are you responsible for the Cubs depth chart on ESPN.com?
Oh, God, what does it say?
No,
The answer is no.
Well,
the answer is no.
I think you are. And it's all right if you lie to me. We've only known each other for 25 years, so it's okay if you lie to me. But the point is, though, is that the idea that it's Matt Mervis Day, right? He's already on the depth chart as the number one first baseman.
They just shot him ahead of Hosmer right there.
I mean,
and Mancini.
I'm looking at like Mervis, Hosmer, Mancini, Rios, Wisdom.
Well, you can cross Rios off. Mervis has taken Rios' place. But Hosmer, it'll be interesting. Hosmer, Mervis, and Mancini. Last time I checked, you can only use one first baseman at a time. They do have the DH, though. But there's definitely a Cub fan running the depth chart, no doubt.
It's not me, but there's one. I mean, he just got here. And the reason why that we bring this up this morning is because if you're a Cub fan or a Major League Baseball fan, you know that there's just been this real support from people that root for the team on Clark and Addison for Matt Mervis to be part of the Chicago Cubs, because he's been tearing up in the minor leagues. And you just know that players like Hosmer and Mancini are just placeholders.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the reason why that they're on the ball club is because the Cubs, and I think Jed could tell you this too, are not necessarily ready to win it all or win the division just as of yet. Those are veterans. That's good for a young locker room. So I like the pickup in the offseason of a couple of these guys. However, we know that the future is Matt Mervis. And the hope is, if you're a Cubs fan, is that this guy can be a cornerstone for your team for a long, long time.
No doubt. And I think bringing him up now is probably earlier than they wanted to in some respect, meaning if Hosmer was hitting and the offense was clicking like it was last month, I'm not sure that he's up. So a conspiracy of events have happened here that have brought him up in early May instead of maybe early June. Having said that, he can't be the savior for 23. He's just a rookie and not even a highly touted one going back 18 months. So, like, don't put too much pressure on him. But what I like about the early call-up, Jay Hood, is when they are ready to win, which is next season and beyond, he will have gone through all the growing pains. The only pitching staff he won't face this year, if he's up the rest of the year, is the Dodgers. That's the only, I believe, season series they're done with. Unless Padres, Dodgers, might be both. Anyway, that's it. He'll see the league. That's good. Let him go through the growing pains now so he won't next year. So if he came up in July, that'd be a half a season of growing pains. This is 5 months, as long as he stays up and he gets playing time, which I assume he will. You don't bring him up not to play him.
Every fan believes that, hey, this is our year. You don't just waste a year. And this is not a tank year for the Cubs, but I think that it is actually good for Mervis, and he should play the majority of the games because this year is not the year.
Right.
Unless the Cubs play over their skis. And actually, the way the Cubs are playing right now, this is who they are. You know, I've been trying to tell Cap that for a while. Cap, after
the, he declared them a playoff team. No, you don't declare anything in April.
Oh no, no. After
I didn't even declare the White Sox dead in April. I know how these things go. And yes, look, they almost got back to six games out until they couldn't score in extra innings yesterday. So sorry to interrupt, but yes, they were a 78 win team according to Vegas. They might get past that, but they're not getting to 90, in my opinion.
No, but I think it's interesting because my partner believed that after the Cubs were able to win that series against Los Angeles, that, okay, here come the Cubs. And it's just like, have you seen the roster? The roster's good and not exactly where you want it to be yet. But again, he's just a wild fan, and he looks at it and says, this is the time. Okay, so the positives in this is that Mervis will be able to learn on the job. Any issues that he has, whether it's offensively or defensively, he'll have full autonomy to be able to learn. But in 2024, when the lights come on, it should be Mervis, it's wisdom, it's some of your cornerstone guys, and you should be ready to go. And also, that says a lot about Bellinger, too. If Bellinger continues to play this way, it makes me wonder, will he be a Cub in 24?
He won't be playing center field, in my opinion. Like, there's all sorts of scenarios, and I'm going to use his full name because you rightly said no nicknames until they come up. Pete Crow Armstrong is the next center fielder in waiting. Now, look, if Bellinger is back to MVP form, you have to explore keeping him. You could also move Bellinger to first, and if Mervis shows something at the majors, you could move Mervis. But I wouldn't just give up on Bellinger because he has a one-year deal. You have to explore it. But they love Pete Crow Armstrong. They love the glove. Bellinger, from what I'm told, can play great first base. So we assume Mervis is the first baseman of the future, but who knows? Who knows what happens with Bellinger as he returns to form? My guess is they're not going to be able to afford him. He's a Boris guy. If he has a big year, it's going to be a huge contract where Mervis is making the minimum. So I'm pretty certain he's going to move on, but at least you have things to explore. But and with Matt Mervis, it's Mash Mervis. But can we do that until he gets a first? You know, does he need a first to home run or something?
Yeah. How about 10 home runs?
Okay, and then call him Mash. Start mashing.
I mean, it's unbelievable. the obvious shirts print themselves for God's sake. They're before they can even put the spikes on. They got nicknames. They got Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA. We got Mash Mervis. Wait, just a second.
I grew up a Cub fan. Okay, I've been a reporter for a long time. But one thing about us Cub fans, we have backup quarterback syndrome.
Uh-huh.
The next guy up is going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy.
Why
not start with the nicknames early? Mash Mervis and PCA. PCA isn't so much a nickname. It's just shortening his name.
No, first. Can you just do something for a second, for God's sakes?
Totally.
I got the cool Mervis shirt. Look at me. He hasn't played yet. Hang on a second. It could be Kevin Horry. We have no idea. Give him a chance.
All we can say is Mervis had a meteoric rise through the minor leagues last season.
Listen to the journalist.
Meteoric rise. That, I can't say it, but I can write it.
Exactly.
Meteoric rise through the minors last season. Which I'll give you some stats later on about him, why he's here now.
No, I don't
just,
want
just,
him.
Just to tell people what he's all about.
Okay, well
that's my job.
Here's my thought on this, Jesse. When it comes to the baseball season, especially over the last 10 years, I've always felt, man, just give me something interesting to get into Bears camp. Just keep me interested. March, April, May, June, July. Keep me invested right into Bears camp.
If you don't have a team that's going to win it all.
Yeah, just invested. For the Cubs and Sox, just give me something that I could be able to sink my teeth into until we get to the Bears camp. And so the way things are going right now, this is the biggest story now because young Mervis is with the Cubs. The Sox being able to beat the Twins, thank goodness, 2 out of 3.
At least.
To win the series. Now, are they going anywhere anytime soon? No, but the point is, though, is that at least they beat my arch rival, the Twins. So that's a step in the right direction. But the thing is, though, is that when we look for interest, you got two teams that are grossly underachieving. This White Sox team off to a horrible start in April into May, and this Cubs team has fallen off the tracks 15 and 16. I said, I want something interesting, damn it.
I know.
Give me something.
Yeah, I mean, the people just, it's such a long season. The Cubs went 5-1 out west, which is tough to do, although three were against Oakland. And they followed up with one. They followed up with 1-6 out east. But I don't think, I'm not, you know, baseball's a roller coaster. Just because you lost 3 or 4 to the Nats and the Marlins, whatever, doesn't mean your season's lost. They're going to come back home and probably win the series against the Marlins. You're supposed to win more at home than on the road. So,
maybe.
It's a roller coaster. You can't ride it every day, up and down, up and down. It's amazing. Twitter in the baseball world is insane. Because over 162, you're going to look awful, and other times you're going to look great. And if you go on Twitter, it's fire everyone the days you look awful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh, we're going to the World Series on the days you look good. And that's why, usually, I look to Vegas. Because yes. They take emotion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they give a win total. And they're usually pretty right. Once in a while, teams blow by them. Whatever the Rays win total it was, they're probably going to blow by them. But I don't think the Sox or Cubs are going to blow by them. And until further notice, the White Sox might get way under their win total. But usually Vegas is pretty good about this stuff.
All I know is that you rather have fans that are passionate than dispassionate. You want them to be into it. I mean, listen, this is how it happens in a lot of baseball markets, right? You go through a series like, boy, we're just not playing well. This stinks, right? I want to see change. And you get that because it's a long investment. It's a long season, Jess. So keep in mind that the average fan does not have the patience that you and I have. We've seen the good and bad. But some just like, you know what? I need it yesterday.
Yeah.
And you get that, right?
Well, it's funny. I spent the day on Twitter yesterday. I was watching both games on my couch. I didn't have to be at Sox Park. And I don't really spend the day on Twitter usually. It's just a, you know, you want to take a shower after being on Twitter, right?
Sure.
So I spent the day on Twitter and I was answering people. And it's, you can have two thoughts about the Cubs, that they're decent, but they're probably not going very far, meaning far into October or even to October. You can have both thoughts. And it's just tough for, I think, fans to have two thoughts about their own team, right? I feel like it's, you're either all in one direction or all in the other direction, whereas it's okay to have a couple thoughts that seem competing in some ways, but they're really not. Cubs are good. I guarantee, I was like, this is what the Cubs are. I said that on Twitter. But then I also said, but folks, they're still going to go on a run or two.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they're going to go on a run maybe as soon as this home series against the Marlins and then the Cardinals, who stink to high heaven.
Yeah, they do.
They're going to go another run. And then people are going to declare them back in the playoffs. And you know what? Then they're going to get beat again, because that's what 500-ish teams do. They go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
And then the surprise comes in a negative way with the White Sox, what happened to them, or maybe in a positive way with the Cubs coming up. Maybe they do go on a longer extended run. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But this is baseball. It's a roller coaster, especially for teams that are a little bit in the middle like the Cubs and Sox.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, so that's what mediocre teams do. What do 10 and 22 teams do?
Well, I think the Sox have played their worst baseball.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing.
It's going to get better. It already has.
But just when you are this bad, this behind the track, right? Mm-hmm. The last thing a fan wants is unpredictability, right? They want to be able to say, hey, you know, this team can be able to compete. I don't know what's going to happen this series against the Reds. I don't know.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
With this ball club? I have no idea.
I think the one thing I know is they've played their worst baseball. With T.A. back, with Liam back in the near future, Crochet back, there's at least better days ahead until the next guy gets hurt, of course. Berger's out now. In general, they're going to play better. But that's not much of a consolation for you, because playing better means maybe getting back to 500. Who wants 500 again?
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. When Jesse and I return, we'll talk a little bit about how you look at sports in 2023, players and teams. We'll explain that coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget you can watch our shows on YouTube as well, youtube.com. Just click the ESPN 1000 Chicago page, and you can watch all the shows live and all our interviews that you might have missed on YouTube, ESPN 1000 Chicago, with Jesse Rogers and for Cap'n Jay Hood on the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show. You know, it's interesting generationally how sports fans develop. Like, for instance, when you and I were coming up, we had our teams. I grew up 20 minutes from Comiskey Park, so I grew up as a Sox fan. I had a choice, either be a Sox fan or get my ass whooped. So I was going to be a Sox fan. I had no other choice, right? Even though I was watching both teams as a kid. On the South Side, sometimes the choices are made for you. And so that was the case with me, Jess. And so you growing up as a Cub fan, we both growing up watching the Bulls and the Bears and enjoying it. We liked individuals on those teams, but also we are a fan of those teams. I find it interesting in the modern day, in 2023, where you can walk through your neighborhood and walk through my neighborhood, and there's someone that has a Steph Curry jersey, a Giannis jersey, a Vladimir Guerrero Blue Jays hat or jersey or shirzy, right? Where it gets to the point where I think that sports is different in this generation than ours. We rooted for teams. There's individuals that we like, but we rooted for our teams. I think today there are certain people that root for individuals more so than teams. The heartbreak is not as strong when you root for an individual versus rooting for a team.
Yeah, I agree with that. In this day and age, and I think it's the NBA kind of developed fans that way because of the nature of these stars moving around so much. You don't really become a fan of that new team, right? Like if you were a LeBron guy and he went to Miami, you love the Heat? No, you love LeBron. I think it's more prevalent in the NBA, right, than the other sports, even baseball. NFL, yeah, I mean, the stars don't move around as much in the NFL, right? Franchise quarterbacks once in a while move. But I think this has been created by the NBA because you become fans of stars. And when they move, you're a fan of that guy. And then you're a fan of that team, you know, for that year. And then if he moves on, you follow him. So yes. I agree with that when it comes to the NBA.
But I think Major League Baseball is getting there.
You think so?
And here's why. Because ask an average kid, can he sit down and be able to do the scorebook for nine innings and be attracted to the team? Even with the game being faster, are they watching entire games? No, but they will go to House of Highlights. And they will go to other places to be able to see the home run, the great defensive play, all that. And it's condensed down to two or 3 minutes. Now, how many jerseys do you think Wander Franco sold last 48 hours? The shortstop for the Tampa Rays.
Because of the trick he played with the ball, that thing?
Brother,
I mean, I hope a lot.
I mean, but that helped the sport.
Yeah.
Even though Cap and some of our older listeners recoiled at that. Oh, that's bad for the game and all that. Do you know how awesome that was on TikTok, how that went viral?
First of all, it's not bad for the game, okay? Who cares about the game? Could it have been bad for the Rays if he had dropped the ball?
Yes.
Yes. That's the only thing it's bad for if he drops the ball. I can't believe the pushback. Do whatever you want as long as you get the out. Yep. I could care less. Now, you're taking a risk. If you don't get the out, you're going to be up for ridicule. So that made no sense. But yes, that drew attention by young fans for sure.
Don't you think that in the sport that you cover, that there are individuals that are getting acclaim? Like, you and I have had a lot of conversations over the years about Ohtani. Where I think that in our era, if we had a two-way player that could be able to pitch and hit in the 80s, holy cow.
No, that's like, a great point.
Jeez.
There's Ohtani fans.
Oh.
Nobody cares about the Angels.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point. Has it turned into being a fan of a player more than a team? Now, I think the caveat is where you live, too. I'm sure people in Anaheim are fans of the Angels.
No.
But outside of Anaheim, you only care about Ohtani.
I'm not sure if that's the case.
And that maybe not so. But, like, same thing here. I mean, we're all fans of the Chicago teams. But outside of Chicago, you're right. I'm going to follow a player around. You know, I'm not going to become a fan of the team he's on. I'm just going to be a fan of that player.
So Shay, for your generation, and this is perfect for your generation, because there are so many that will just look at sports just on what's on social media. On my Instagram, I didn't watch the entire game, but give me the highlights. Give me the condensed because my life is busy. I believe that in your generation, there's more jerseys of those that are stars, more so than rooting for the teams. Like, if you're a Giannis fan, you think that you're a Bucks fan, but I don't think that works that way in this era as often. I don't think so.
You might be asking the wrong guy, and maybe I'm just wired differently, but I'm one of those people that roots for the laundry. I'm a fan of my team, and when a player who I root for leaves my team and goes someplace else, I don't root for them anymore. Like, my entire life, I've rooted for the Patriots. When Tom Brady went to the Bucks, I didn't root for Tom Brady. I didn't care. He's not. It's not my thing anymore. Whatever you accomplish there, I have no emotional attachment to. I don't care. It's you're different now. You're not my guy anymore. See, I root for the laundry, and maybe I'm unique and out there, but I actually think that's more common.
Yeah, no. There's two things at work here. Growing up as a fan, and like Shea did, and then the star player leaves and leaving him. But let's say for me, I love the Patriots because of Brady. Now, when Brady left, I liked watching him with Tampa Bay. I was a fan of Brady wherever he went, but the Patriots weren't my team growing up. I get that there's a difference there, right? It's like Wilson Contreras is coming back Monday. You can love Wilson Contreras, but you're not going to root for him on the Cardinals if you're a Cub fan.
Perfect example of that for me is when Frank went to the A's. Frank Thomas went to the A's, right? Yeah. So as a White Sox fan, you know that's the team that means the most to me in Chicago. You know I love the White Sox.
Yeah.
And so when Frank is no longer with the team, he's with the A's, I was there freezing like in a May night game under the blanket just watching Frank. And when Frank came to the plate, there he is. Standing ovation for Frank. Boom, hits a home run. It's like, okay. He comes up to the plate again. That's Frank. Boom, another home run. Okay, I hate that guy now.
Because
that's enough.
It could happen Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday. People are going to give him that standing O. And he might beat you, despite some of the comments. I think he's going to, how fans are in the moment. They're going to give love to Wilson Contreras, and he deserves it. He's one of the 2016 heroes from the day. So, yeah, it's a weird thing when your guy leaves your team.
Yes.
But like I said about Brady, I didn't have an attachment to the Patriots. I just loved Brady. So I don't have a problem following him around where Shade wants to push him away once he leaves.
I don't think I've ever loved a player who's not on my team. Like, Steph Curry is a good example because he is greatness, and he's so attractive to young people, mm-hmm. the way he plays and the way he's changed the game. I appreciate the greatness, but I don't root for him. I don't root against him. It's like, I don't care. Whatever he does is what he does. I like watching the greatness, but I'm not rooting for him. I don't think I've ever loved a player who wasn't on one of my teams.
Yes, and I think that is rare in your and in his age range.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
too. It is.
Like, I think that you can have a affinity for your team, but also strongly admire an individual player. Like, as a Bulls fan, I admire Steph Curry because we never seen anything like this. He's the greatest shooter that we've ever seen. We've never seen anything like this, Jess.
Nope.
No, it's someone that can shoot from the moon. We've never seen anything like this. So to me, I think that is something where it's like, I'm a Bulls fan, sure. Curry will never play for the Bulls, more than likely, but I can admire him. Same thing with LeBron James. Like, I have no problem with LeBron James. I don't. Because I know he's a great player. He may not play for my team, but I can look at him and say, That's a solid ball player.
I'll go a step further than Shea. Like, I think you can admire them and root for them. Like, I'm in that category. I love Steph, and I am rooting for him to win another championship. Here's the other thing, just another tangent topic here. Like, I am not the type of person that gets sick of one team winning it all. You know what? Take them down. I love Brady winning it post 40 years old. Take them down. I want Steph and Steve Kerr to keep winning it. Because that's amazing to have the longevity to do it. Think about this town. We had it with the Bulls. We had it with the Hawks. We haven't come close with the baseball teams. We rarely get a bunch of years in a row. Certainly not multiple championships.
No.
Cubs had a little run. White Sox runs are very short. So I want to see Steph and Steve Kerr go and win and win and win until someone takes them down. Because it's even more impressive when they do it at an older age.
So as an 18-year-old Jesse Rogers in this generation, even though you're a Cub fan, and grew up a Cub fan, you're not even a fan anymore because you're a journalist, because you're all over the place at ESPN. So which jersey are you rocking? That's not a Matt Mervis jersey.
If I was 18...
Tatis.
And you're talking about baseball?
Baseball.
No, not Tatis. Boy, it's hard not to say Ohtani these days because I'm like you.
Yeah.
The idea of a pitcher hitting and a hitter pitching. Yeah, I think I'd have an Ohtani jersey on.
Freddie Freeman?
I don't think so. I don't think so. This is a guy, this is a unicorn. If I was 15, 16, 17, I'd be like, I want that guy on my team, and I'm going to be, especially if you're a Cub fan, for example, you're not going to be a fan of a Cardinal.
No.
So it's got to be someone distant.
Right.
And the Angels, different league. Like, that's easy to be an American League fan or of a player in the American League. So I'd say I'd probably be an Ohtani fan.
I'd look in to see if I can get half off on a Franco right now. I mean, I'm just not, like, that was just unbelievable. And people, the walls were sweating with people on social media and my partner just like, that's bad for the game. He's an idiot. All that. I'm like, wait, whoa.
It's definitely not bad for the game to entertain.
Man, like, look.
Now, I would, if I was a coach of a Little League team the next day, I'd be like, please don't try that. You're not good enough. He is.
You know it's going to happen, right? We're going to see this on Little League Fields.
Oh, for sure. It's going to go viral, be on TikTok. But I hope we see the one that fails, though, because that'll be funny, too.
Yes.
Guy tries to twirl the ball, and he drops it.
Where are we in 2023, Jesse? Where we criticize Franco, not the guy that did not respect 90 and run hard enough down the first base line.
Yeah.
Whoever the runner, the hitter in that spot, you don't get on him. You let a guy twirl the ball in his hands like a basketball, right, and then still throw you out, and you're nowhere in the frame?
Well, at least Cap came down on the one guy that didn't run to first. Send him to the minors. I don't care. Take that. I'm pulling him from the game's not enough.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. All right, Shay, let's open the phone lines. Do you root more for players or for teams? Now for you as a sports fan in 2023, what's going on in your neighborhood too? Do you see the individual jerseys of stars? Maybe they're not fans of the team, but they're a fan of the stars. Jesse and I are going to take your phone calls on that. Do you root more for players or for teams? We'll get to that coming up next and your phone calls. Cap'n Jay Hood is on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM HD2.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox failed to complete a sweep yesterday. Hanser Alberto had a chance to walk it off with a hit by a pitch, but he swung at it. Odd. The Sox play the Reds today at 5:40. It'll be a 5:40 start in a 5 o'clock pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs lost yesterday to the Nationals 4-3. The Cubs are now 15-16 on the season. Matt Mervis, right? Been called up for today's game at Wrigley at 1:20.
Sylvie's going to be distracted at 2 o'clock, I guarantee you.
You think that'll be the case?
I guarantee.
Yes. Justin Steele's on the mound for the Cubs today. He's allowed just 2 runs or fewer in every start so far. Alabama has fired their head baseball coach after a gambling scandal. Also, the Golden State Warriors, they defeat the Lakers 127-100. That series is tied at 1. Jay Moore.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
With Jesse Rogers in for Cap, I'm Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to let you know we got an animal story, kind of wild. We'll get that as well as Shot or No Shot coming by 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. We'll with you until 10, then Bluck and Abdallah come in from 10 to noon. They're in for Carm. Carm and Peggy. Actually, they're in for
a Greeny.
Greeny, sorry. First day with my new tongue. Bluck and Abdallah, 10 to 12 in for Greeny. Carmen Peggy, 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 5 into White Sox baseball, starting at 5 against the Reds right here on ESPN 1000. Jesse and I are asking the question, do you root more for players or for teams? 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. I've rooted for the White Sox and rooted for Chicago sports teams all my life, but there's individual players that I really admire, too. So there's something to be said about the growth of the sport when you can say, hey, Ohtani, there's a guy here that's the face of the sport. He just plays for a lousy ball club and the second team in Los Angeles,
right.
but you appreciate him. There's certain guys in basketball, hockey, and other sports where you say you appreciate them, but I still will be a team guy for the most part.
We are approaching, 3.5-4 months away from, 4 months, I guess, one of the greatest free agent moments in the history of sports when this guy becomes a free agent. Speaking of Ohtani,
yes.
Think about the pitches, the money, the bells and whistles teams are going to pull out. He's probably going to have in mind a team he wants to go to ahead of time, a team or two, but it's not going to stop 10 teams from flying the private jet out to see him. So that's going to be fun to watch.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to you here on Cap'n Jay Hood. Here is Mike on the Ike on ESPN 1000. All right, Mike.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
We're great. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Listen every morning. It's an interesting conversation you guys are having because I've been a Blackhawks fan my entire life, going to games when you couldn't watch them on TV. Ed Belfour was my favorite fan growing up, and, you know, obviously over the last decade, we've all fallen in love with Patty Kane. The Hawks find themselves on the opposite end of the spectrum that they used to. This year, they're not in the playoffs, far from it. So I found myself kind of rooting for Patty Kane, you know, as a, you know, interest in seeing how he plays with other team, with another team. And, you know, kind of just because we fell in love with him over the last decade for everything he's done for Chicago. You know, I don't root for other players when my team is in the hunt. But if they're on the bench playing golf, you know, I don't see why not root for a guy that like Patty Kane that's done so much for the city.
So you're not necessarily a Rangers fan, but you're a fan of Kane and will follow the rest of his career.
You know, I'll follow the rest of his career on the back burner if the Hawks aren't involved. If he's playing the Hawks, you know, get bent.
But is that not the Chicago way right there?
For sure.
Get bent.
And I think this applies to those 16 Cubs who were traded in 21. Like, the second half of 21, the Cubs were tanking, right?
Yeah.
But you were a fan of Rizzo and Bryant and Baez. You were watching what they were going to do at that point. I think a lot of fans are a lot less interested in those guys now that the Cubs have kind of started to rebuild a little bit. But you're always going to keep an eye on them in the back of your mind. They were the guys that won you a championship, just like Kaner did.
Specifically Rizzo.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, have you seen? I mean, Baez is now just turning around a little bit.
Yeah, no, right. Rizzo's the only one that's had a decent career since leaving.
Yeah.
Bryant's been hurt a lot. He's pissed. Yeah, right. But in general, you're just keeping an eye on those guys because you grew to love them. But that's a different scenario than liking someone that was never on your team, like Ohtani or Chiro or one of these guys.
Mike on the Ike, we appreciate your telephone call. Now, you see, Mike leaves line open. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Mike in LaGrange on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I think it's more of like an age development thing. I'm 33 years old, and you know, when I was younger, we used to emulate, you know, AI, Kobe. You know, those were the dark days of the Bulls. So, you know, we were pretending to be the Lakers versus the 76ers on the playground. You're playing more video games. But as you get older, you really start to narrow your focus to more on the laundry, as the player, as Shea would say.
I think that is fair. And you're in that sweet spot in your early 30s, Mike. And if your team's bad, and here's what I believe. I think, especially for younger fans, if the team's bad and they see dad and granddad and mom being pissed off every year, oh, this team is never going to get right. They never spend money. Blah, 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 blah. Well, as a kid, you don't want that stress. You'd rather be like, okay, if my dad's been a season ticket holder or just a fan and can't handle this because he's so pissed off that the team's underachieving, at some point as a kid, you're going to be like, you know what? I'm going to root for a winner. And I totally understand that point of view. Go ahead, Jess.
Oh, yeah, I thought the caller was going to say something. I agree with you 100%. If my dad is down on his team years and years and years, I am going to look elsewhere, right? That I am absolutely going to look elsewhere.
Was he a Yankee fan?
My dad was a Yankee fan.
I thought.
Yes, and Brooklyn fan, yeah. All the New York teams, because that's where he grew up. Now, he didn't bring it too much here. You know what I mean? Like, when we were here, there was no cable. We weren't, you know, he couldn't watch it. So he actually became a Cub fan. But that the Cubs are the one team, though. You sort of embrace the lovable loser. You would never give up on them. You know what I mean? So that the Cubs are a little unique, I think, maybe because of Day Baseball and WGN and all that stuff. But, yeah, if you're hearing complaining from your parents, or your dad, your mom, over and over, you might look elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that the kid doesn't want that smoke. Like, boy, seems like every time we go here, we go to the games. I grew up going to Wrigley or going to the South Side. It's like, wow, the teams are always underachieving. I don't want to deal with this. Now that I have the wherewithal to spend money, I ain't spending on that. I'm going to go someplace else.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have a jersey of someone else. I want to root for winners. I think that individualism, I think it reigns for the younger generation, but for guys like you and I, we're just used to rooting for teams.
Yeah, you know, no doubt.
That's just who we are.
No doubt.
Jim in Mundelein on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're great.
In today's world, with fantasy leagues and gambling, you're forced to root for individuals.
Well, that's a good point. All the prop bets and stuff. Sure. Yeah, that's and obviously fantasy for sure. You don't care what that team does that night, only your player. So
yeah,
those two things.
Win or lose doesn't matter. As long as my player gets me my points, that's what I care about.
Is that how you feel today, Jim?
100% no.
Who are you a fan of?
I'm a diehard Chicago fan, Cubs, Bears, Hawks, period, the end. But I'm also competitive. So if I'm in a fantasy league, I want to win. And it sickened me to pick Aaron Rodgers as my fantasy quarterback, but it made sense when it was my turn to pick.
It's quite the conundrum, isn't it, Jim? That's
the total total sports conundrum when you play fantasy sports. But it's like once in a while, Sylvie will bet against the Cubs, for example,
sure.
And it's a win-win night, right?
Yeah.
Your team wins, okay, I lost $5. You win the bet, but your team loses. So same thing with fantasy football. Aaron Rodgers goes off against the Bears. At least you won your week.
Yes.
Bears beat him. At least the Bears won.
So I guess the other side of that is, my God, okay, so you might take Aaron Rodgers in fantasy. You're not wearing his jersey, though. Right? You're just, like,
no, you're definitely not wearing his jersey.
You may respect the guy, but you're not wearing his jersey. That's another thing, too, right? That, you know, there's like LeBron James. You'll never see me with LeBron James anything. Me, no. I respect the man,
right.
But I'm a Bulls fan. I'm an NBA fan. I've covered the league, so but I'm not wearing, I'm not rocking anything LeBron, but I do respect the game.
Yeah, I know, but I could see having a jersey of a player outside your favorite team. Like I said, the other league, you don't have a, you know what I mean? Like he's far away. I it's one thing if he was playing for the Milwaukee Bucks, but LeBron's with the Lakers. If you had a Lakers LeBron jersey, I wouldn't come down on you.
I'd hope not.
I wouldn't. I think that's okay to have a jersey of your favorite player outside of Chicago, but your favorite player outside of Chicago should not be on the Milwaukee Bucks or Indiana Pacers. It can't be on your rival.
And by the way, I'm going to Wrigley. Did I tell you that?
Pooh. Yep. When? Yep. This should be a headline.
Today, man. I'm going to get, I've got me a Chisholm jersey. I'm going to.
I'm with you next week. I might bring you a Mash Mervis. I might bring you a Mash Mervis next week.
Mash Mervis. Listen to this. Listen to this guy. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. When we return, we'll take more of your phone calls. Do you root more for players or teams? And if not you, what about your kids? Or young people in your life, what are they doing? Are they rooting for teams like you, or do they have individual jerseys of stars that they like? Let's get your thoughts on that. Don't forget, we got Shout or No Shot at 8 o'clock. All part of the mix on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap and Jay Hood Experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
With Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Do you root more for players or for teams? We're talking to you about that here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Got an animal story right around the corner as well. You got to hear this. But first, Melissa in LaGrange is on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
So I believe that when I was younger, I definitely rooted more for players individually. I mean, I grew up with loving Andre Dawson. My parents were into Mark Grace, Ryan Sandberg. I mean, those were our guys when I was growing up. But, like, as I've gotten older, I find myself, like, where I don't have an actual love for anybody in particular. I have, like, more an appreciation for, like, the team in general. I mean, Rizzo, he, like you guys were talking about, I mean, he was kind of our guy. I still follow him, like some of the other callers said. So that will always be a thing. But as far as like kids go, I'm a teacher, and I will tell you that the kids, if you ask them anything about the team, they don't know anything about the teams. They know only about individual players, and they definitely have fan favorites, and they definitely know the Steph Currys, you know, LeBron, a lot of NBA and a lot of NFL, but baseball, forget it.
That stops the heartbreak, because no matter what the individual teams do, like it's the Golden State Warriors or if it's the Lakers, they root for LeBron. They root for Steph.
Yeah, that's right? Definitely true in the NBA.
They root for Ohtani.
No doubt.
I mean, because
and I think you're right. It's moving that way a little bit in Major League Baseball.
It is. It's not going to ever be like individual. You only root for individual all the time. I don't think that's universal. It's more that way in the NBA, but Major League Baseball is getting there because of social media.
I like what you said earlier. Can you imagine drafting, you know, Aaron Rodgers on your fantasy team and you wear that jersey to school? Why are you wearing an Aaron Rodgers jersey? Because he's on my fantasy team. That's never happened. I think most people reluctantly draft rivals and root for them for their fantasy reasons, but that's as far as it goes.
Melissa, we appreciate the phone calls. We go to McHenry. Here's Mike with Jesse Rogers and Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thanks for making your call.
Yeah, so I grew up a diehard Cubs fan. I got to play catch on the field with my dad at Wrigley when I was 5 or 6. But, you know, around 2005-ish to 2011, there was a certain number 5 in Cardinal Red that I just loved to watch blast baseballs all day. And I would go to Wrigley Field early, sit in the bleachers, try to catch home runs via batting practice from Pujols. And that's a certain situation where I was a Cub fan, but I loved Albert Pujols. So because of that, though, once he left St. Louis, I decided, you know, I got to be a Cub fan through and through. I can't be rooting for individual players because it is kind of a conflict of interest.
So you didn't follow him as an Angel?
No, I didn't. I followed him as a Cardinal because he went to Wrigley Field a lot when he was playing for the Cardinals.
That's fair.
Okay, it's interesting. I mean, yeah. It's a little different take, but his grew out of the idea of seeing him at Wrigley. And once he stopped seeing him, it's weird because you'd think he'd be a bigger fan once he left the Cardinals, this caller. But he wasn't because out of sight, out of mind, I guess. But it was really strange to be a Pujols fan while he's beating the hell out of your team. That's weird.
It's interesting. Time for an animal story here on Cap'n Jay Hood. All right, Jay Moore.
Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Bears. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces?
Hey, bears.
Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping?
Hey, bears.
Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Time for Animal Story. Here's Shane Orling. Shane?
Yeah, a bit of a public service announcement here today, Hoodie. There's a story going around that's garnered some national attention, including being picked up and written about in the Associated Press. The story is Bridget Watkins, who's 43 years old of Summit, Arkansas, allegedly took fawns into her home and raised the deer with the intentions of training them to attack hunters. She was taken into custody. At the time of the arrest, Watkins was in possession of several grams of meth, 4 deer, and many stolen broken electronics. The posts then explain that attention was drawn to Watkins when she began giving meth to the young deer, and they were caught rummaging through people's garbage and back porches.
Like anyone with meth would do. It just happens to be a deer dude, but a person on meth would also be rummaging through the garbage.
How did they know she was giving them to giving meth to deer? How did they figure that out?
Well, Jess, this story that I mentioned was picked up by the Associated Press and a few radio station websites. Is satire, yes. It turns out. But that's why this is a public service announcement, because people took this news and ran with it.
Very good.
That this woman's given out meth to deer and raising them to attack hunters.
You had me all the way to how do they test deer for meth and why would they?
Well, they knew they were on meth when they were digging through garbage.
Okay.
And they were scratching at their own necks on people's porches.
I guess how to train deer to attack hunters should have been my first question as well.
Yes.
That doesn't seem like an easy train, you know?
Sounds like you skipped a few steps there, Justin. Your question.
Oh, my God.
You went right to how do you know? Well, yeah. It's between the gums and the cheek. That's right. How do you know? Because they're scratching and asking for change.
Exactly.
That's why.
Oh, I bought that story. That's how sad we are in this world. I bought that story.
Thank you very much.
It's all the used pipes that were in their habitats.
Right.
I just thought that was a funny story like that. Some people would believe, but if you just read down, it's like, oh, that's not a real story. It was on Facebook, as a matter of fact.
In this day and age, man.
Yeah.
You know, feeding meth to a deer seems possible.
I think that the way it's written in rural Arkansas, training a deer to attack hunters, that seems like it's normal for 2023.
Normal, totally normal.
Yeah.
With meth, kind of normal enough.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes right here on Cap'n Jay Hood.